Broadcasting from the studios of Business Radio X, it's time for Privacy Cafe. This show is brought to you by Hall Booth Smith, guiding clients through the intricate landscape of data privacy law. Now, here are your hosts.
Hi, my name is Richard Shanus. Welcome to the first full-length episode of our Privacy Cafe podcast. I, along with my partner, Jay Davis, lead the Data Privacy and Security Group at Hall Booth Smith, and we are here today to bring you data privacy and security news. Jade, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Thank you, Rich. I am a data privacy and cybersecurity attorney here. In addition to those groups, we're now merging into artificial intelligence and data governance. On the podcast, we hope to cover a plethora of topics ranging from trending news, things that make you gasp, and interesting insights. What kind of guests do you think we'll have on?
Well, Jade, we are going to bring in subject matter experts from different areas of privacy, security, technology, AI, like you mentioned. We'll have some in-house counsel that could tell our listeners how it is to lead the privacy and security aspects of sometimes a national company, technology company, maybe a global company. We'll bring in some subject matter experts that can do deep dives into things like AI, let us know a little bit more about how it works and how that matters to things like privacy and security. And we'll also bring you a few individual stories. We'll bring in women in technology, women who have become in-house counsel and lead legal departments to tell us about how they did it and how they have broken through some glass ceilings to the high positions that they occupy. So I think we'll have a lot of varied viewpoints that we can bring for our listeners.
I think that's great because when I think about data privacy, even though we've had the GDPR for a while, it's still the Wild West. And no matter what kind of company you are, no one has all the answers. And it really requires a broader conversation, lean on everyone's expertise and navigate the gray areas. Starting the podcast, we wanted to go through what our predictions are going to be in the space for 2024. I'll get started and then we'll just round robin it and see what we come up with. One of the first ones that I'm thinking about is going to be the federal comprehensive privacy legislation predictions. I don't think we're going to have that this year. I certainly expect more drafts to be filed. But my prediction is that we'll have more states add on to the privacy laws, the same thing we saw with data breach or breach notification laws. Last year, 2023, we had 5 state privacy laws come into effect: California, Colorado, Connecticut, Utah, and Virginia. Those new laws, specifically Colorado and Connecticut, they drew largely from the CCPA, California's law. And that, as we know, is modeled on the GDPR. And then this year, we have 5 more states: Washington, Oregon, Texas, Florida, and Montana. As we've had a bunch of other states that are awaiting their effective dates to come to, but I think we'll just continue seeing that trend unless Congress can get it together.
Jade, why is that? Why can't Congress get it together and pass federal comprehensive privacy legislation? I know when you and I advise clients on privacy compliance, we have to look at all the different states in which the client has business operations and which states apply to them and which don't and what the requirements are of each state. And it's trying to put all that together. And it just seems like we're falling behind the rest of the world. Every other country, of course, GDPR in the EU, I think, for the most part, kicked it off back in 2018. But since then, so many countries have adopted federal or national privacy legislation that sometimes is modeled very close to GDPR and sometimes not, but why are we falling behind that way?
I think it's more over preemption. There was huge conversation as it relates to California budging on their approach to data privacy, and they were certainly willing to sign off, you may say, to federal legislation so long as they could maintain any additional restrictions or requirements, but they don't want the preemption. And if we don't allow states to have whatever their exceptions are, I don't see us getting there.
Okay. We'll see what happens at the end of 2024. And if your prediction turns out to be right, I'm on your side. I think you're right. I don't think we'll have federal privacy legislation by the end of 2024, but we'll see. One thing that I think that we will see in 2024 is a lot on artificial intelligence. We read about it in the news, not necessarily in a or from a legal perspective all the time, but we read about different AI technologies in all kinds of different industries. We read about there's some movement in the European Union to legislate AI, and there was President Biden's executive order on artificial intelligence from October of last year. I think that a lot of people are still worried about AI. Is it going to be biased? Is it going to be applied fairly? Will it be accurate? Will it take away the jobs of people? And I just think that in one form or fashion, we're going to see a lot of activity on AI, whether it's more executive orders, state legislation, or regulatory actions.
I agree, definitely. I think that when older generations think of AI, it can be analogous to email. There were a lot of people saying that they would never, ever, or could never, ever see themselves sending an email years ago. Now that's just not even, that's not possible, right? You can't get away from it if you're in the business world.
Well, now, Jade, I have to say, I'm one of those old people and I know how to use email. So give us a break, okay?
No, you're not that old. I'm saying there were people had a staunch feeling about, oh, if, I'm not using this. I'll continue doing it the old-fashioned way, but you can't get away from it. So my point is, you're going to have to learn about it, even from a legal standpoint as it relates to our profession. We're seeing state bars issue guidances, ethics opinions on artificial intelligence and the use of it for lawyers. Specifically, we're seeing all other approved uses run down companies. And so there is a side of it that even experts that create AR are afraid of. That's as it relates to machine consciousness and awareness. But when we're talking about machine intelligence, generative AI, where we are now, I'm moreover concerned about human use of it, what people are uploading and what they're adding as inputs. All the things that we get calls about, my employee did this, is this an actual incident? Can you help us create a protocol? That's what I think.
Well, Jade, the next topic I think is very appropriate now based upon just last week, I think it was, that we had the hearings on Capitol Hill where some of the leaders, Mark Zuckerberg, those types of people, were called before Congress because there's great concern about social media and children. What do you see in 2024 for children's privacy issues?
Definitely. I see so much movement regarding children's privacy issues. I think this is one of the few topics we may have bipartisanship on in Capitol Hill. I hope that we have some legislation in addition to regulations that are already in force. I think that we'll most likely see a SCOTUS decision regarding the FTC and Meta litigation. I also think that we're going to see a lot of movement at the state level. California already has their law. And I think we'll see more and more states pick up Some states may approach it from a different standpoint, but I think we're going to see movement there. And just late last year in December, we saw the FTC issue proposed amendments to the Children's Online Privacy Protection Act. That's the COPPA rule. Right now, it's in notice and comment, but once we get that'll definitely set the scope for where the rest of the movement takes us. Are you seeing any litigation trends?
I'm glad you brought that up, Jade, because we are handling and seeing more class action lawsuits in the privacy field. You talked a little bit toward the beginning of our podcast about states passing privacy legislation, and a lot of that has to do with privacy information that is obtained through what everyone calls cookies or similar tracking technologies. Those are the little pieces of software code that when a person goes to a website, the website drops a cookie on the person's device and starts gathering information about that person's activities on that website or even sometimes other websites. And so the plaintiff's bar has picked up on that and filed numerous class action lawsuits around the country, essentially alleging that the gathering of personal information from people using things like cookies and pixels is not fair, that the companies are profiting unduly from using that information or selling that information or sharing that information. I've even seen it where the lawsuits allege that the use of cookies is like planting a bug on someone's phone, that it's done in secret. And keep in mind that the use of cookies is perfectly legal in the United States. There's not a single law that says cookies cannot be used or even requires that an individual consent to cookies before they can be used. The only thing we're seeing in these state privacy laws is people, in some cases, need to be given the opportunity to opt out and not have their information subject to being collected through cookies. But that's the litigation that we're seeing, and I expect that to continue to grow and essentially make companies or make the Googles and Metas of the world the bad guys through those lawsuits.
I think along with that, what we're seeing from a litigation standpoint, I think there's also significant federal movement. One thing that you coined that I'll repeat here is, since the legislators do not legislate, regulatory agencies pass laws under the guise of calling them regulations. That's something I think we should put on a t-shirt, because this is not a trend that we're going to see end anytime soon. We're going to have additional federal notification requirements. That's another prediction that I have. And not even a prediction, it's already happening. So last year, the FTC, they recently amended the safeguards rule under the Graham-Leach-Bliley Act. And now we have requirements for non-banking institutions to report data security breaches if they affect 500 or more people. Whereas in the past, we really looked to those state, even though it's a patchwork of them, but those state breach notification laws, which depending on however many people are affected, you may have to also notice consumer reporting agencies, attorney generals. And now you have a situation where even if you have an exception, we have a broader requirement. So it's not fair, right? There's so many different laws that business owners have to be cognizant of so that they're following each of them, because you can comply with a few, but not know about another and not be in compliance. As lawyers, we're trying to get ahead of it, right? Tell our clients about it, get them on a protocol review to make sure they have what they need. But that certainly scares me if I were a business owner under those laws. But it gives us enough work, right? So I think that's a huge one that we'll see continue.
We won't get political and talk about why legislators don't legislate. But one thing we could also see is, as regulators like the FTC pass more regulations and then have enforcement actions, could there be pushback that, hey, those regulations are unconstitutional because the regulatory agency, such as the FTC, has gone beyond their regulatory power. So we'll see. Yeah. One other prediction I have is continued security enforcement efforts, especially in the breach field. And related to that, I think companies and really individuals in certain roles are going to start being worried about personal liability in some of these incidents. I guess it's probably been a year or two now since the security chief at Uber was charged criminally with regard to an alleged cover-up of a breach. The recent case with the SEC and an enforcement action against SolarWinds and its chief information security officer. A little bit of a word to the wise for the men and women who are in these positions of being a security officer, a CISO, maybe a chief technology officer, chief information officer, that type of thing, is being able to protect themselves, because now it's not just enforcement actions or lawsuits against the companies, it's against the individuals as well. And we won't get in deeply into it now, but are they being scapegoated, or are there other reasons for the individuals now to be named along with the companies? So that's what I am seeing for 2024.
While we're on the topic of SolarWinds, you brought up a really good point. You said prior to that, it's really going to be telling the work that we see pushing back against these regulations. In that particular SolarWinds case, we have people from the business world getting involved and pleading to the court to help the court understand, recognize we do have cybersecurity issues. But if we're coming against CISOs or other technology officers independently for personal liability, but also against the companies, where is that line? I think this is where we need something broader from the country, because otherwise it really impedes the business world. I think that we need to really understand where the SEC's scope of authority begins and ends, where the FTC's scope of authority begins and ends. Because as we continue to have sleeping legislators, we see all this other work on the regulatory side, but then it gets to the point where enough is enough, right? Because how much are we supposed to report without giving the threat actors more of what they already almost have, right? How can we protect the company, but also give the information that we're required to give? And as these are investigative efforts, right? So the information I have today is not the information I have tomorrow. And if I have to provide a report today, I may get new information tomorrow, or I may not have enough information to feel confident disclosing today. But if we're penalized, especially if we've certainly documented, I think reasonably, and we can show that we made those efforts and we weren't covering anything up, we need to provide some level of a reprieve for businesses. So I'm really on the side of SolarWinds, because I do fear that if we have too much from an enforcement standpoint, there's really no wiggle room to allow businesses the flexibility they need during these investigations and to protect themselves.
Yeah. And related to that, are these types of actions going to scare people away, that they don't want to be a CISO or a CTO because they don't want, they're behind to be on the line, so to speak. They don't want that potential risk. The SEC, when they passed their latest round of regulations in 2023, one of the proposed regulations that did not make the cut was to require the board of publicly traded companies to have people on the board with expertise in cybersecurity. I think something like that will get passed eventually, but that's what they're looking for, boards to have that expertise so that they have adequate oversight. And when a CISO comes before the board and says, we're doing A, B, and C to secure information, the board is supposed to be able to know, is the CISO giving them the straight scoop, or are they being bluffed a little bit? So a tough time maybe to be someone in that position with the type of enforcement actions that we're seeing.
Agreed. Absolutely. I think we're going to have an exciting year. I certainly look forward to whatever surprises we wake up to in our inbox, whether it's internally or externally. And I can't wait to see who we get on the show and what we learn. I'm certainly up for what I can learn from other experts. That's it for today. Join us on our next edition of Privacy Cafe, where we will have a data privacy expert join us and delve into more privacy issues. We'd love to hear from you. If you have any questions or want to talk about anything privacy or security related, email us at privacycafe@hallboothsmith.com. For my co-host, Rich Shanus, I'm Jade Davis. Join us next time.
Thank you for joining us on Privacy Cafe. This show is underwritten by Hall Booth Smith, helping clients navigate the ever-changing world of data privacy and cybersecurity. For more information, go to hallboothsmith.com.
Privacy Cafe is a production brought to you by Hall Booth Smith, PC. This podcast is published for the purpose of providing general information and education on topics, which includes those related to the law and legal issues. But the contents of the podcast do not constitute legal advice. Listening to this podcast or utilizing the information contained in it in any way does not constitute, nor does it create, an attorney-client relationship between you and Hall Booth Smith or its lawyers. The contents of this podcast should not be used as a substitute for competent legal advice from a professional attorney licensed in your jurisdiction.